Father, we thank you. King of glory, we give you praise. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name. It's always a great privilege. We count it to be every time we come together before you like this. Father, we say thank you. King of glory, we have come with a heart full of gratitude to appreciate you for what you have done and what you will do in our lives. Father, we say thank you. King of glory, we say thank you. El Shaddai, we say thank you. Lord God Most High, we say thank you. Abba Father, we say thank you. Ancient of Days, there is none like you. You are the first and the last. You are the beginning and the end. You are the same yesterday. You are the same today. And forever you will be God. You have never changed, and you will not change now. You will not change now. We give you praise, O Lord. We magnify your name. We say thank you, King of glory. Thank you, Ancient of Days. We magnify you. You are the one who have brought us here again today to teach us, O Lord. To teach us, O Lord. We are prepared today to hear from you. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Jesus, we thank you. God the Father, we give you praise. We worship your name. We magnify your name. We thank you forever and ever. Thank you, King of glory. We bless your name and adore you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. All right, you may be seated. We want to thank God for the series of class we have had. And this should be the fourth week of this class that we have had now. So today, we are going to be looking at introduction to the Holy Spirit. Introduction to the Holy Spirit. Now we have discussed about faith, we've discussed about the new birth, kingdom service, the Christian service. So we are also going to be looking at introduction to the Holy Spirit, because from all the things we have said, if we refuse to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a child of God, it will be incomplete. Why every other thing we have discussed about, they are all built on top of the power of the Holy Spirit. What will enable us to serve well in the kingdom is the Holy Spirit. That hunger, that desire to want to be in the presence of God, to want to do the things of God, even when we are not told to do so, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith is being strengthened, and faith comes alive under the power of the Holy Spirit. It is evident to us because Jude encouraged believers. In Jude chapter 1 verse 20, he said, "But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." So we are going to introduce the person of the Holy Spirit this morning. Now, from what we have here, the Holy Spirit is the third personality of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the third personality of the Godhead. That is, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are the one that make up the Godhead. But our focus is on the Holy Spirit, who is the third personality in the Godhead. Why? The function of the Holy Spirit and that of God the Father and the Son is similar, but the operation is distinct. Their operation seem to be similar, but their operation seem to be what? Distinct. That is number one. That will continue again. The Holy Spirit is not in the falling. The Holy Spirit is not in the falling. You don't know that people have the Holy Spirit when they fall down. And it is not a proof that when somebody falls down in church, that the person have what? Holy Spirit. So that's why they say, Holy Spirit is not in the falling. Comma. He is also not a dove. He is also not a dove. Or water. He is also not a dove or water. He is a personality like Jesus Christ. He is a personality like Jesus Christ. That is, all the characteristics, all the attributes of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit also have it. All the attributes and characteristics of the Father, the Holy Spirit also has it. Hallelujah. Full stop. Let's continue. He speaks. He speaks. That is, the Holy Spirit has the capacity to communicate with the children of God. Let's see the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. To show to us that the Holy Spirit can communicate with the children of God. Right, if you are there, you can read.
Acts chapter 13.
Yeah, verse 2.
It says, as they ministered to the Lord,
yes,
and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul,
yes,
for the work whereunto I have called them.
Yes. Praise God. So it was when they were waiting on the Lord, they were ministering to the Lord in word and fasting, that the Holy Spirit word spoke to them. So it's something that had the quality of a personality that can communicate. Something that does not have a quality of personality cannot communicate. Cannot communicate in this context now. So it therefore means that the Holy Spirit can communicate with us. The Holy Spirit is not something that believers cannot relate to. It's not a personality that cannot be related to. It is not. Then, it has emotions. It has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotion. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Let's see what is there. That is the personality of the Holy Spirit. It is something that has personality that can have emotion. Acts chapter 8, verse 27. Yes.
And he that searcheth the heart.
Searcheth the heart.
What is in the mind of the Spirit.
Yes.
Because he maketh intercession for the saints.
Yes.
According to the will of God.
That is, the Holy Spirit is able to tell what is happening inside of us and use that as a means to convey the kind of prayer that we would have prayed to God, but we don't know how to pray it. So the Holy Spirit can help us even when we can't do so. So we said the Holy Spirit is not in the falling. That somebody fell in the church and is rolling in the church, it's not always a proof that the person is having the Holy Spirit or have received the Holy Spirit, because most people do it for fun. It's also not a dove, because we're told in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized in River Jordan, that the word, the Holy Spirit descended as a word, as a dove. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is a dove. It was just a word, a symbol. Alright? It was just a symbol. Or water. Now, these things are symbol, but they do not represent the Holy Spirit. They are just a substance of the things which the church was to receive. And now we have it today. And it's in us. It's in us. So the Holy Spirit has emotion. And it's also said in Ephesians chapter 4 that we should not grieve what? The Holy Spirit. We should not grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is by the Holy Spirit of God that we are sealed unto the coming of the Son of God. So the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer cannot be overemphasized. From the beginning of Christianity to the end of Christianity, we need the Holy Spirit to see us through. We need the Holy Spirit to see us through. So the Holy Spirit is not in the activities that we see in church. The Holy Spirit is the power behind the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that power that is behind the resurrection of Jesus Christ need to find expression in our life as believers. Why? Because without it, we cannot serve God as we should. We cannot serve God as we should. Now, when we got born again, the Holy Spirit of God is in us. Immediately we got born again, because it's not the word of the preacher or the person who spoke to us that got us saved. It was the power behind the word that that person spoke. And that power is not the person who was speaking's power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that have the ability to convince any man to be born again. It's not the word of the person who is preaching it. But that person that is preaching it is a vessel. It's a vessel that makes him or herself available for the Holy Spirit to what? Flow through. So it's the Holy Spirit that is doing the word, the conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that is doing the conviction. So when that man or that woman gets what? Born again. What happened is that the person has a responsibility of what? Stirring up the Holy Ghost. And how is the person going to be able to stir up the Holy Ghost? The stirring up of the Holy Ghost comes through what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. When somebody begins to desire, begin to yearn, to live beyond the babyhood of Christianity into what? Into the adulthood. Because there are some persons who, from the first day after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was after being born again, that was where everything ends. Do they have the Holy Spirit? They have the Holy Spirit. But the problem they have is that they are certain level they cannot operate on. Why? Because they have refused to what? Stir up that gift that is in them. Praise God. Let's continue now. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is a promise from God. The Holy Spirit is a promise from God. It is a promise. Apart from being the third in the Godhead, it is the promise that Jesus had made to what? To the promise that Jesus had made to his disciples through the Father. That when I go, I'm not going to leave you what? As orphans. I'm going to what? Send the Comforter. The one who will show you things that is to come. So, the Holy Spirit is a promise from God. How? Is a question. How is the Holy Spirit a promise from God to us? One. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a promise from God to us as a believer, is that the prophet Joel prophesied it. Prophet Joel prophesied it. In Joel chapter 2, 23-29. Joel chapter 2, 23-29. Let's take the second one. We'll come back and look at the scripture one after the other. John the Baptist also spoke of the coming of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist also what? Spoke of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Coming of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. John Baptist also spoke of the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's in Matthew chapter 3, 11 to 12. Matthew chapter 3, 11 to 12. Then lastly, Jesus Christ also spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ also spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Coming of the Holy Spirit. And that is also seen in John chapter 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. John 16, 7. Acts 1, 4 to 8. Acts chapter 1, 4 to 8. Now let's go to the first scripture, Joel chapter 2, 23 to 29. If you are there now, you can go ahead and read.
Okay. Be glad then, ye children of Zion.
Yes.
I rejoice in the Lord and God, for I have given you the former rain moderately.
Yes.
And it will cause to come down for you the rain.
Yes.
The former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
Mm.
And the flood shall be full of wheat.
Yes.
And the fat shall overflow with wine.
Hallelujah.
And I will restore to you the years that the locusts are eating, the
color
worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army which I
sent among you.
And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied.
Yes.
And praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Yes.
Your old men shall dream. Dreams, your young men shall see visions,
yes,
and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids,
yes,
in those days will I pour out,
yes,
spirit.
Praise God. So the Holy Spirit is not peculiar to the New Testament, it was there in the Old Testament, but the pouring was not to everybody, it was only to specific persons. For example, you could see they will say, go and meet the seer. Somebody will come to see Elijah, somebody will come to see what Elijah, those prophets, Jeremiah and rest of them. Why? Because there was no outpouring. It was not poured on the whole entire Israelite. It was only poured on some specific person who God prepared for a certain assignment. But in the New Testament, it is not so. It has been poured out on all who are available to be used in the church. So it has been poured out. So Joel prophesied it. Even if many of them in the Old Testament didn't have this experience, but in the New Testament, we have it today. And it has been given to both male and female. So there is no discrimination. Whether you are a male or female, it makes no difference. As many who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they also now have what? Access into the Spirit. Praise God. Then let's look at John the Baptist also spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11-12.
I indeed baptize you.
Yes.
But he that cometh after me,
is
mightier than I.
Yes.
Whose shoes I am not worthy to
bear. Yes.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
With the Holy Ghost and fire. So John the Baptist himself was also aware of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that was why it was proven in John that when the dove descended on Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ himself could do nothing until he too was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we're told in Matthew chapter 4 from verse 1, he said, being full of the Holy Spirit, he was led where? Into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was led. And nobody knew about him until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. For that 3.5 years in his ministry, the scripture said his fame went abroad because of the working of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at John chapter 16, verse 7.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
Yes.
It is expedient for you that I go away. I go not away.
Yes.
The comforter will not come. But if I depart,
yes,
I will send him unto you.
And it has come from that day till now. It's still with us. Now let's look at Acts 1:4-8. Yes.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem.
Yes.
But wait for the promise of the Father. Which saith he, ye have heard of me.
Yes.
For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost many days hence.
Yes.
When they therefore will come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, with us this time restore again the kingdom to Israel.
Yes.
And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power.
Yes.
As 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Yes.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem,
yes,
and in all Judea,
yes,
and in Samaria,
yes,
and unto the
uttermost part of the earth. You can't witness without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't share this gospel with other people without the Holy Spirit. Why? Because one thing that comes with the Holy Spirit is boldness. Something that you are afraid of doing before. When the Holy Spirit comes, you have the courage. You have the courage. There are some people that maybe probably if you give them mind to come here, to come out, they will be shaking. But a time will come in their life when that boldness comes in. And send them anywhere they can go. It was that boldness that was in the life of Stephen that made Stephen to be able to surrender his life for the gospel. He gave up his life. Now we believe that Stephen was not like that from the beginning, but until he had what? An encounter with the Holy Spirit. That encounter that he had with the Holy Spirit makes all the difference in his life, all the disciples. Now we today in the church, we can't witness. Because one of the things that the Holy Spirit was designed for is to make us what? A witness. A witness of what? What we have received from Jesus Christ. But the painful thing today most of the time is that we can't serve God in the flesh. We can only serve God through the Spirit. That is the only way. Now, but there is a price to pay. What is the price? There must be a price of hunger. There is a price of what? Setting yourself apart. So that there is a low moment with the Holy Spirit. So that it can find expression in our life. It's that moment that we do not have. We don't have that time. We don't have that moment to spend with God. Then how can we exercise the Holy Spirit? No man can do great thing in this kingdom that we are in outside the help of what? The Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ could not do anything. It's even clear in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He said, how Jesus of Nazareth was what? Anointed with the Holy Spirit. So he could not. There is nothing he can do. Those healing that was taking place, he was doing them through the hands of the Holy Spirit. It's the truth. It is the Holy Spirit that will help us to understand what is preached in the church. It is the Holy Spirit that will help us to be committed believers. It is the Holy Spirit that will help us to hate the things that the world loves. Why many of us like the things that the world likes or love the things that the world loves is because the Holy Spirit of God is not being given place to walk in our lives. And therefore, we are not different from the ordinary believers. Praise God. Subheading, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, 1 to 7. Acts chapter 2, 1 to 7. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes.
When the day of Pentecost was fully come,
they
were all with one accord in this place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind.
Yes.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire.
Yes.
And it sat upon each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And began to speak with other tongues.
Yes.
As the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jewish devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying unto one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?
Okay, thank you. Praise God. Now let's take note of something under this one. Right. This account mark the outpouring. This account mark the outpouring and the indwelling. This account mark the outpouring and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It was the beginning of it. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in man. In man. The the outpouring and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in man. Full stop. Let's continue. Since then, the Holy Spirit.
Since then,
the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has continued to baptize men. Since then, the Holy Spirit has continued to baptize men, women, boys, and girls. Baptize men, women, boys, and girls. With all attendant evidences.
With all attendant evidences
that there have been proof following each of these baptisms. There have been proofs. Praise God. So there is one thing for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. Another thing is to continue to what? Indwell. Now, for example, the Holy Spirit cannot indwell a sinful temple. So that is why the Bible told us, for us to continue to enjoy the free flow of the Holy Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit, we must sanctify ourselves. Because it is holy. So where it must abide, where it must stay, must be an holy place. And that is why you see that the outpouring may be once, but indwelling must be a continuous thing. The infilling. That is why we continue to pray. As we pray and pray in tongues and all, we are being what? Filled continuously. Because believers must continue to be what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. The measure must continue to what? Increase than the way it was yesterday. The sanctity, the sacredness of our life must continue to what? Get better than the way it has ever been. So it has been given out to everyone in the church. It has been given to men, it has been given to women, it has been given to boys, it has been given to youth. No man, no woman in the kingdom have to pay anything to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. The role that they have to play is to make sure that they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit will mark a new beginning in the life of a believer. In miracles, in healings, in restoration, even in our mind. We can't have the Holy Spirit and not perform well in our various field of endeavor, whether in school or anything, because one of the things that come with the Holy Spirit is sound mind. Is sound mind. Another thing that comes with the Holy Spirit is excellence. That was one thing that was found in Daniel. Excellence. Somebody that was doing something in a very, haphazard way, disorganized manner. When the Holy Spirit comes, that is why when people come to church, we are one of the places supposed to learn excellence from is the church. Not when you come to church, everywhere is disorganized. It's a proof that these people is like they don't believe, they don't know what they believed on. Or they don't know what they carry. Because Holy Spirit loves orderliness. Holy Spirit like a serene and a sacred environment. Because that's the only way it can move. Praise God. Now, subheading, let's look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now that we know we have the Holy Spirit, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, what is the ministry? What is he going to do in the life of a believer? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One, empower us for the Christian life. One, empower us for the Christian life. To live in this generation as number one. To live in this generation, you don't want to do what they are doing. It has to be by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of temptation. Things that want to make us sway from the things of God. Number two, quickens our mortal body. Quickens our mortal body. Romans 8:11. Quickens our mortal body. Quickens our mortal body. Even when we are sick, when we are weak, it's the Holy Spirit that quickens. Apart from resurrection now, it's the one that quickens our mortal body. When our body is down, when our mind is down. We'll go through them one after the other later now. Take the third one. It guides us into all truth. It guides us into all truth. It guides us into all truths. Guides us into all truths. John 16:17 to to 17 to 18. John 16, 17 to 18. It guides us into all truths. To originally, for humans, to say truth is difficult. It's very difficult. It's much more easier to lie than to remain a truthful person, because that is an easy escape. But one thing that the Holy Spirit will now make a believer do is that even when you try to want to lie, you cannot. And again, what you also, that word also represents there is that there are some things that are unclear to us in the scripture. The Holy Spirit is the one that will best understand in our heart. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The reason why we can differentiate between something that is pure and something that is not pure as believer is through the help of the Holy Spirit. Number four, He shows us things to come. He shows us things to come. He shows us things to come. Shows us things to come. John 16, 13 to 14. John 16, 13 to 14. He shows us things to come. For example, what are things to come? Resurrection is to come. A better life is to come. A better relationship with the Father is to come. Where there will be no betrayal, there will be no disappointment. And no, a time like that is coming. What the Father has for us, the inheritance, things He has prepared for us that we do not know, is the Holy Spirit that brings us into those truths. Number five, He reproves the world of sins, as in the entire world. He reproves the word of sin. He reproves the word of sin. That is the one that have ability to convince and convict those we preach the gospel to. John 16, verse 8. John 16, verse 8. Then the next one, he reproved the word of righteousness. He reproved the word, the entire word now, of righteousness. He reproved the word of righteousness. Where we also speak to the people is the one that will bear righteousness in their heart when they are saved. The next one, okay, you see, no scripture for that one. It's in the same John chapter 16, verse 8 that we have for that. Then, the next one is, He testify of Jesus. He testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who testifies to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The next one, He teaches us. He teaches us. Because Jesus Christ said, the teacher is also the Holy Spirit, just the way He's a comforter. He said He will teach. John 14, 26. John 14, 26. Jesus is being revealed to us through the help of the Holy Spirit. The next one, He protects the believer. He protects the believer. Is the one who protects us against evil, crime, all manner of atrocity that would have come our way. He protects the believer. This one, this protection is both physical, spiritually, mentally, and even in our decisions. You understand? Acts chapter 20, 22 to 23. Acts 20, 22 to 23. The next, He helped us in the place of prayers. He helps us in the place of prayer. He helps us in the place of prayer. There are times we don't know what to pray now. The Holy Spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered. Like this means He helps us to pray. And lastly, He is our seal. He is our seal. Ephesians 4:30. He is our seal. So by this Holy Spirit, we are sealed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look at all of these things, you see that if Holy Spirit is not the one doing all of these things, to serve God will be absolutely difficult. Absolutely difficult. No. When we are at Agboro, that was where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That should be around 10 years back now. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were praying and fasting for 21 days, January. Praying there, I was in the studio Why nobody lay hands on me and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? There are some persons, they lay hands on them to receive baptism. But I was just there, you know, we were praying and preparing our mind towards what we want God to do for us in that very year. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit came. And we were praying. Most of the things, even evangelism that we were not having the courage to start doing before, we started doing it, even on our own. We go out, we share flyers with people. You know, people were even surprised at some of the things that we were even doing in our own areas. Those things became possible because of the Holy Spirit. Things that we used to like before, the attitude that we used to exhibit in our neighborhood, characters, and some of the dirty behaviors and attitudes, those things were just living up. It was the Holy Spirit that was making those corrections. So let's look at the first one now. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. Yes. Yes.
Dwell in you. Mm-hmm. He that raised up Christ from the dead
from
shall
the
also
dead.
Quicken your mortal bodies.
Quicken your mortal bodies.
By spirit.
By spirit.
In you.
Yes. So if a Christian said he's strong, he should be in church. And strong means that you should appear in Zion. That is where your deliverance is. This mortal body now is not referring to the body in the grave for believers. It is referring to maybe the weakness. It's not referring directly to resurrection. But it's likening it to the same spirit that was able to bring Christ back from death. Can even raise our body from sickness, from disease, from affliction. So some people at times they say they are very strong. You are strong, you should be in church. Not that you use cloth to cover yourself, you are shivering. You are not strong then. You are not strong. So that you are strong, you appear before the Lord in Zion, because it's the one that will heal you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So let's look at John 16, verse 17. So the same Holy Spirit is working.
17.
Yes.
Then said some of his disciples among themselves,
yes,
what is this that he saith unto us?
Yes.
A little while, and ye shall not see me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a little while, and ye shall see me.
Yes.
And because I go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18 says, they said therefore, what is this that he said?
Yes.
A little while. We cannot tell what he said.
Yes. So the reason why those are not confused, it was confused. At the time when you open scripture, you know, there are some people online yesterday, they were debating about so many things online and all. Why? Because most of the time we interpret scripture aside what God said, most of the times. Now, the only way we can be bring into the truth is when we rely on the Holy Spirit. For example, somebody yesterday said that what Apostle Paul was preaching or teaching or wrote was from Apostle Paul's own personal revelation that God gave to him. And the person said that God told him that what Apostle Paul was, that Jesus Christ told him that what Apostle Paul was preaching contradicts his own teaching. Are you getting me? The other person now said, no, it's not right. It's wrong. Jesus cannot say such a thing. So you have a lot of misreaction of what people are saying. But if we stay long with the Holy Spirit, it will tell us what we should teach. But most of the time, we have some emotions. At times, our emotion can enter into our gospel. Our own personal experiences can enter into the gospel. But what we are meant to do, immediately we should correct it as we find those mistakes. Correct it, and then we'll move on. So those things at times, they happen when we don't spend much time with God in His Word, so that those things can be properly revealed to us before we go out. So what the assurance he gave to his disciples, because some of the things that Christ was saying was confusing to them. And if you even look at it, they were not yet baptized then. So they don't understand all of these things that Christ was saying. That I go back to my Father and all. So when Christ had left, in Acts chapter 2, that they were properly filled with the Holy Spirit now, you'll find out that they became a new man. A new man entirely. And they now began to write. And they now knew that, yes, these were the things that Christ was trying to explain to them. But before that time, they don't understand. It's just ordinary men, ordinary fishermen. But see, there was a total transformation. Now let's look at Romans. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Because the place of prayer is very crucial in the life of a believer. Prayer.
Yes. Says likewise, the Spirit also repeats our infirmities.
Yes.
For we know not what we should pray for.
We should pray for.
As we ought.
As we ought.
But the Spirit itself.
Now the Spirit
maketh intercession.
Maketh intercession for us.
Groanings which cannot be.
Cannot be uttered. Praise God. So at times, even when we are weak, when we pray in the Spirit, we groanings. At times we don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit that search our heart, that search for deep things within us, things that we are not even aware of, He begins to pray about them. There are times we have burdens, at times, for our members, for our friends. You just find out that at times you start praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revealed some certain things to you. At times you just wake up in the middle of the night, you see yourself praying in the Spirit. There is a burden, something that should have happened somewhere, you are quickly correcting them in the Spirit. Even when you were not prepared for it. Why? Because a burden came through the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next one, let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. So get ready to gradually round up. Yes.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Whereby ye
are sealed unto the day of redemption.
So what will keep us in the very last time? The last day, the coming of Christ, is the Holy Spirit. What will keep faith is the Holy Spirit. What will keep love is the Holy Spirit. You can't love when the Holy Spirit is not at work in your life as a Christian. And faith will not have any expression. All the spiritual gifts are a product of the Holy Spirit. All the fruit of the Spirit are a product of the Holy Spirit. So we must rely and make sure that we continuously we are being what? Filled in the Holy Ghost. Then now, let's look at how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. How to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because many are in church, they have been complaining. Why is it that I'm not baptized? You know, people that were God born again the same day, they are all baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. But I don't know why my own case is different. So how to be baptized? One, the baptizer is Jesus Christ. The baptizer is Jesus Christ. So you have to be aware that the one who can baptize you, just like John said, that the one that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire is what? Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. That's one. Two, don't look unto man but Jesus. Don't look unto man but Jesus. Okay? Don't look unto man but Jesus. Come on. Though he may use man. Though he may use man's hand. But Jesus is behind the operation. Though he may use man's hand. But Jesus is behind the operation. John 3:7. Okay. Though a man of God may come to lay hands and the person God feel, is not the man of God. It's the Holy Spirit through the man of God as well. Then number three, be born again. The Holy Spirit is available to those who are born again. Acts 2:38. Peter told the people that were with them in the upper room. He said, "Repent, get born again, and be baptized." That was what he told them. So number two is to be what? To be born again. Acts 2:38. The next one, number four, be desirous. Be desirous. Be nice. Be desperate about that. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit of a truth that you are prepared for it. You can see the hunger that was in the disciples. They tarried in Jerusalem. Why did they not leave? Because they know what they were looking for. Matthew 5:6, John 3:37. Then the next one is trust him to keep his word. Let's believe God that what he says he will do, he is capable of doing it. Trust him to keep his word. Luke 11, verse 11. Luke 11, verse 11. Then the next one is ask. Ask. He said, if we ask, if our Heavenly Father can give us things, how much more the Father cannot give us this heavenly gift, which is the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, 13. Luke 11, 13. So if we have to ask, we have to ask for the Holy Spirit. So it's not a wrong thing for a believer to ask for what? The Holy Spirit. Baptism. It's not wrong at all. Then lastly, believe you have received. Believed you have received. Mark 11, 27. Mark 11, 27. So believed that you have, please correct it. That should be Mark 11, 24. Believe you have received it. You have received it. You have received it. So we have to be prepared for the Holy Spirit in order to manifest these things. Then the last part we are going to look at is white tongues. White tongues. White tongues. Because it's not only tongue that we have there as spiritual gifts, okay? Word of knowledge is there. Wisdom is there. Discerning of spirits is there. Diverse tongues is there. Interpretation of tongues and the rest of them are there. But why tongues? Number one, it is the language of the Spirit. It is the language of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. It is the language of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. So, one of the signs most times when you are filled with the Holy Spirit is what? You speak in tongues. Then, number two, it is one major physical evidence. It is one major physical evidence. It is one major physical evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It is one major physical evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So we can see that from Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts 19, verse 6. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Then the second to the last one is it helps to build our faith. It helps to build our faith. Jude 1:20. Say, but you beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit also back up a believer when he or she is building his faith. And the last one, for effective prayer life. For effective prayer life. At times, somebody that was praying like 20 minutes, 10 minutes, struggling before, cannot pray for hours, unstopped. It just continue. It just have this feeling of being drawn again and again. Even when you are trying to leave, you can't go. For effective prayer life. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Luke 21, verse 13. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Then Luke chapter 21, verse 13. So I expected to put all of these things into practice and make sure that daily we practice these things so that our life can live to reflect each of these things at every phase of our life. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot function as we should as children of God. That is why we must rely on the Holy Spirit to carry us through in every area of our lives. And God expects us that every time we should continue to advance in what? The leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So proper leading, direction, vision, your plans and purpose for life can only be ordered by the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, we prefer to use our word, personal wisdom. That's why you find out that most times we have made a lot of mistakes. Then we regret them sometimes. Why? Because we didn't wait. There are some decisions, some businesses we started, some investment we made. If only we have waited on the Holy Spirit, those losses that we have, we would have had them. If only we would have spent some time to wait for Him and say, okay, I wait. But after that, patience is not there. Why are people leaving church, for example, today? They can't wait. They have seen that in the Word of God, that God will give them what they are looking for. But they should remain patient. They should remain steadfast. They should keep on praying. Now, they have prayed for years. They didn't see anything. They are tired. So what will help us to keep on is the Holy Spirit that will keep prompting us. Wait. You may be seeing those things happening around you, but that's not happened to you. He's still telling you, wait. It takes the Holy Spirit to wait. Praise God. Any question? So, Holy Spirit, very, very important to the life of a believer. Where God is taking us to from here today, to our, meet our different generation, we can only get to them through the Holy Spirit. We may not remain here forever, because each and every one of us have an assignment in life. We may still be here or may not be here. That assignment that God has given to us in our different area, we must fulfill it through the Holy Spirit. It may not be even in church. Maybe in our place of work, because there are some persons who are career work. They are career people. You understand? Where God wants them to carry out their ministry is their office. Because that office, they may spend 35 years there. They may spend 40 years there. How is their behavior in that office? Is their behavior portraying Christ? Is their attitude reflecting Christ? So it's not even only in church that we should possess Holy Spirit. It should be everywhere we go. In our neighbors, some people quarrel with everybody in their neighborhood. You shouldn't carry the Holy Spirit and live like that. When we have the Holy Spirit, a man of God said, one of the reasons why God gave the Holy Spirit to us is to reduce or minimize the amount of mistakes that would have been making in life. Praise God. Any question?
Okay, sir. I have a question now.
Okay.
Matthew 12,
yes.
Because I've had other persons say this, and this is what Jesus said.
Okay, Matthew.
Matthew 12.
Okay.
The emphasis of 31 said, therefore I say unto you,
31.
All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men.
Okay.
But the blasphemy of the Hebrews shall not be.
That's 31, right? Yes. Okay.
So, I'm trying to get more.
Okay.
As regards.
Yes.
So persons now that what's the word? Because personally for me it was a struggle then. Not only that, hope I'm not blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, so that I'll not be forgiven. So what's what's the idea behind it?
Now if you take it from verse 24, it says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by the Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebub cast out devil, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Holy Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except the first bind the strong man, and then spoil his house. Verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that is that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Why is it like this? Here he's not talking to unbelievers, it's believers. Here, the believers he's talking to here is that it should never get to a point in our life where we compare what God is doing to what the devil is doing. Now, what does that mean? Those who have tested Christ cannot turn back against him in any way. Now, coming to sin, God will never allow a genuine believer who really believes in God to come to this point of having, just like somebody who have tested the goodness of God and have even tested the life which is to come and now see that Jesus Christ does not exist, or he or she does not believe anymore in the power of God. Are you getting me? Such a person, before somebody can get to that kind of level, in fact, the scripture even says that, I think in Hebrews chapter 6, that it's not even possible to reward, bring those people back to faith. Because this is like, you know, John said that there are sins that does not lead to death. There are sins that you can pray for. Those ones don't lead to death. But there are some that you cannot pray for. You understand? For example, that one is blasphemy. That blasphemy is, there are people in this stage now, it's a state of apostasy. We have this in last days that will be leading to the practice of Antichrist and all. The Antichrist is most people who have been in church, who left church. Maybe due to one offense or the other. Because people that were talking with Christ here now, are they not Pharisees? These were members, these were custodians of the law. They were the one who the law was giving. Are you getting me now? So what brought this discussion was that the Pharisees were trying to compare what Beelzebub, who was the god of flies, which that's the interpretation they have today, the god of flies, they were comparing the work of God with that the devil was doing, which was not the same. But how many of us today are comparing what the devil is doing with, just that we don't say it with our mouths? So what happened here is that God will never allow a child of God to get to this point, because it's like you renouncing what you believed. But for a believer, there is no sin that cannot be what? Forgiven for a child of God. For a child of God. But this specific sin that Jesus was talking about in this place, a believer cannot make this kind of sin. Are you getting it? A believer cannot make this kind of sin. For example, what kind of sin would that be? Just like we said just now, I no longer believe in Christ. For somebody now, let's say for example, now just like our daddy now to wake up tomorrow and say he doesn't believe in Christ anymore. You have, it should be a very serious matter. A path that you were taking before, you cannot. How can God reconcile those kind of people back? No, they are gone. I think it's in Hebrew. Let's see Hebrew chapter 6 and see what is there. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's take it from verse 4. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and are tested of the heavenly gift. What is that gift? The Holy Spirit. And were made partakers of the, you see now, of the Holy Spirit. And have tested the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, see they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open world shame. Are you getting it now? Anybody that even get to this point, sir, it cannot be reconciled. That was what that what Jesus Christ was talking about. Because why? The writer of Hebrew was also trying to warn the, you know, this Hebrew now, where the Israelites that became what? Christians. That this book was written to. That be careful. The reason why many of them didn't enter is rest. He was talking about rest in chapter 2. That the reason why many of them didn't enter is rest, he killed them in the wilderness, was because of what? Some of these things. They didn't enter. They murmured. They spoke. He said they even resist God. So God now said, what happened? You people will not enter what? The Canaan land. Where there is people, they were his people. Are you getting me now? But there must always be a constraint where a believer cannot get to this point. It's renouncing Christ. That's for a believer, that's where it should be. Turning your back against what you have enjoyed from. It's an open disgrace. Are you getting me? It's just like saying that you are a Christian now, you renounce Christ for Muslim, Islam. That's where you now belong to. You that, for example, you are an elder in church, you have been a Christian for like 30 years. I'll be a Christian in church for like 35 years. Then you now wake up one morning, you said what you believe or you used to believe, you now find out that today you have made mistake all your lifetime in following that path. So what do God do in that case? Are you getting it? What is God going to do? At this point now, this level is somebody that commits fornication, for example, is coming back. God will have mercy on that person. But one thing is that don't go back to it. Then it's completely different from turning your back. You can even backslide and come back. So far, it's not an apostasy. Apostasy, people who have committed apostasy, this is their case. Somebody who have committed apostasy and it's going to happen, it's already happening in, even in our country, people have already been involved in apostasy. They are turning away from Christ. They don't believe in him anymore. And also, they don't have any relationship with him. And those people, you can't reconcile them. One, again, another reason why you can't reconcile them, they know the Bible too much. So what are you going to tell them? So that is why I said, no. You know, John was also talking about, there is one, he talked about deaths, are we? That leads to deaths. I think that should be 1 John. Let's see 1 John. I think that should be in chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let me get the precise place now. John chapter 5. 5:16. I've seen it now. Okay. See what is here now. It says, confess your fault to one another. Pray for one another. No, that's not the place I'm still looking for. There is a place.
5:16 says, if any man sees his brother sin, sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them.
Yes.
That sin not unto death.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it.
You see, what is that kind of sin? For example, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, or Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. You know, when he was talking about the Antichrist, say this will be their walking. What will be their walking? Their walking is that they will believe, they will tell people that Jesus Christ never existed. There is nobody called Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back to John chapter 2, he said they were with us. Are you getting me now? But they were not from us. That is, they were once in church. They were the one that even knew. So they were the one that later came back and be persecuting the church. Well, you know, that's what we talk about persecution. We keep thinking is probably unbelievers. When the scripture is referring to persecution, most times are people who left church. Are people who turned their back against the church. For example, we have people like that now. I think we were having Emmaus. I think that should be in 1 Timothy. People that Paul was complaining about, that they were resisting his gospel. I think that should be in is in 1 Timothy now, 2 Timothy. Let me search it out here. There was two persons he made mention of resisting his ministry, and was also warning Timothy. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy, look verse 19. Or let's take it from verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 18. He said, "This I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mayest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good caution, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made them shipwreck, of whom is what? Emmaus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Are you getting me now? There is another one again, Alexander the coppersmith. See that one? Well done, sir. These were the people you complained that they resisted his ministry. 2 Timothy 4:14. Then he was also warning Timothy here again concerning this guy. It's from verse 13. He said, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carbos, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." You are seeing, well, these were not church members. These were church members now. Then, let me show you on that one again. This one should be from John. There is one Drotophis that he also complained about. I was driving people away from church. I think that should be Second John. Second John. Second John. Okay, I'm able to get his place now. Okay, where he was commending Gaius. Okay, should be in Third John. Then, if you go to verse 7, Third John from verse 7, it says, "Because that for his namesake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellowship to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." Are you getting it? People that who came now that they were saying, these are people who were even, they called them pillars in the church. They are pillars in the church, but they are the one who are standing against the truth in the church. Look at verse 10. "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deed, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words." He was even speaking against those apostles, "and not content therewith, neither do he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casted them out of the church." He's a church member. A church member. Are you getting it now? But for believers, we should not have reason to get to this point that even God himself will not be interested in reconciling us back again to himself. Praise God. Any other question? Okay. All right, let's thank God for today. Let's give God praise. Let's magnify the name of the Lord. It's a great privilege to always come before the presence of God and have God teach us.